making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, welcome to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We are thankful again as we take up this wonderful subject of marriage and the family, and what a relevant subject in our day. Yesterday, if you remember, we've been working through actually this entire week Ephesians chapter 5, where there the Apostle Paul calls wives to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, we've looked at a variety of different ways in which a woman can do this and return to the biblical design for marriage and the biblical design for what a godly woman should be that was given right at creation and assigned to her. The fall, of course, has marred that. The fall has driven the woman today to want to be independent. And it has definitely hurt the whole marriage structure. And next week, we're going to look at the man's failures and the many ways in which the man is called to return to his biblical ordained roles and exercising of leadership and headship in the home. But today, we're continuing this. And remember yesterday, we asked what ways can the woman again exercise the submission that God calls her to do. And in Titus 2:2, remember we read, older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So those are wonderful ways in which the woman can, again, show that willing submission to her husband, which is in a sense showing it in all things to the Lord. Now, yesterday we ended with this last point, that submission is also achieved through the woman's chaste conduct in honoring the word of the Lord. Now, what a challenge we have to say when there are so many external pressures. And we don't have to read very far into the Bible to see all the assaults of Satan on the marriage institution. He's breaking it up and aiming his arrows at it all the time, through lust, through adultery, through greed, you name it. But when the norm for women today is to fight for independence, when the norm is to fight for liberation, the sad thing that occurs is that the one following the norm that the Bible outlines is sort of viewed by society as not reaching her full capabilities, as not reaching her full potential. That's always what Satan does, of course. He takes that which is beautiful, he takes that which is godly, and he makes society scorn it and view it as something low so that they might then abandon that role and do something that is outside of it to their own degradation and to their own fall. As one pastor said today, this thrive for independence has been a direct attack on God's structure. Under pressure for liberation, women today have abandoned the home, and sadly, those doing this are those with children, most still in adolescent years, many under the age of 6. And our society is crumbling for it. But the greater pressure under liberation today is that the women, they say, just doesn't have to put up with a man who's failing in the home. She doesn't deserve this. And therefore, she has all the right in the world to simply walk away, to divorce. Well, in my final point, I want to stress today, I want to tell you that the Bible goes directly against that in every way, for the woman is to be chaste in conduct. If final place I guess I want to consider today is 1 Peter 3. We've looked at it already. But listen to what he says in verse 13. And again, the front issue and the issue before us is that of submission. So everything falls under the category of submission when you look at the instructions that the Bible gives to women. He says there, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to king as supreme or to governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." And he's speaking, of course, to all mankind there. For he says, "This is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And then he goes on to say, "When you do this to your masters," verse 18, "and you suffer wrongfully or are beaten for your faults," he says that when you do good and take such beatings patiently, you do what's commendable to God. But here's the most beautiful thing. When we suffer wrongly by our employers, by our masters, by governors, by kings, whoever it may be, maybe even church leaders, when we suffer maybe even intensely, and in that show submission, we model what Christ did for us. He says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness by whose stripes you were healed." Christ suffered the worst of persecution. He was murdered. He was delivered up. We've all have been taught for a lifetime what Jesus went through so that we might have life as Christians. Guess what? When he was being unjustly treated, he did what? Wouldn't even open his mouth, but said, "I commit it to God who will judge righteously." That is a beautiful gospel we have, isn't it? And when we submit to others who treat us unjustly, we model dimly as it may be what Jesus did for us. Now, after all of that, what does Peter write? Isn't this something? After all that, in chapter 3, verse 1, what does Paul say? What is the implication of that? First thing he says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Now, here the command from God is that even when the husband is shirking his responsibilities as a husband, as it says, even if the word of God is disobeyed, even if there's the possibility that he may be an unbeliever and his actions are demonstrating this, what is God's command? Be submissive. Be submissive. We connect that with something like 1 Corinthians 7, a wife's not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And then he goes on to say, "For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband?" Why endure this, Paul? Today's woman says, "No way, I'm out of here." God says, "Yes, submit, so that when he observes your holy conduct, your chaste behavior, he might be won." Do we believe this? Isn't God sovereign over our circumstances? Doesn't he hold the husband's heart in his hand who's disobeying? And if it's a terrible disobedience where it needs to be dealt with, that's why God has given church discipline. Part of the blessings of submission on the woman's part will be nurturing and loving care received by the husband. That's a benefit you receive in doing this. And if the husband will not, I promise you, your tender shepherd, Jesus Christ, is and will nurture and set a shield around you. And first and foremost, because you are honoring him. We're in a grave situation today, aren't we? If the marital breakdown in our society is as prevailing as it is today, what about the future? Might we know a day when the sinful world tries to redefine the whole thing, the whole institution of marriage? Look, if the whole thing is redefined, can you imagine what that's going to do to the children down the road when they don't know what it is to have a mother and a father? All all around us, the structure that God has ordained seems to be falling apart. I submit to you, much of what I said today would infuriate a lot of people. Even worse, much of what I said today would infuriate many even in the church. But I can't get away from God's clear commands. I'm not speaking my message, I'm speaking His. And we must return to the God-ordained roles that He has defined and understand that when they are diligently attended to and Christ is honored, we're going to see a turnaround. But until then, we're only spiritually heading and sprinting towards Sodom and Gomorrah if we're not already there. But I say to all of us out there today, there's hope. The gospel is the healing and the only balm for the curse that is upon people, and everyone's feeling it today. Look at how unstable the world is. Look at all the sin around us. Look at all of the evil that is surrounding us. The only true healing comes in Christ. The only true healing comes in Jesus. He is healing marriages. He's returning people to the original created design. Do you want that? We must all look to Him if our marriages are to make it. Again, He did not die in vain, my friends. He did not willingly submit Himself to the one who will judge righteously and go all the way to the cross so that we might in our homes abandon His roles for us. Your marriage is designed to reflect His death and love for His church if you are a Christian. Isn't it an amazing thing that every day your love for one another in the home is designed to picture and represent a love that can never be broken, a love that can never be separated, a love that ensures that a time is coming when Jesus will come again and receive His bride to Himself. If your marriage is crumbling today, if your home is on shaky ground, if there's been failure in the past and today suffering has resulted, you must go to Christ. Repent of disobedience, and you must again be refreshed with this fountain of grace again and again. He freely forgives, and guess what? Renews, even repairs damage done. And He will lift you up to know and live today in the refreshment of what it means to live in submission to one another as to the Lord Jesus Christ. This Sunday, we have worship services at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We heartily invite you to join us, the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You may visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com, or you may call 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to be your only comfort and only hope in life and in death.